The reading is from Matthew chapter 13 and will be from verses 24 to 30. For a bit of background, in chapters 12 and 13, the writer of Matthew's Gospel gathers a collection of Jesus' parables and places them alongside each other. Perhaps he means us to read them, each in the context of the other. This parable immediately precedes the parable we have just heard from Rosemary a moment ago. So from 24. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the household came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'"
In the prelude to her wonderful little book on the parables, Susan Derber writes, "The parables of Jesus are windows into the mysterious world of God and God's relationship to people. They're also a mirror reflecting back to us valuable data about ourselves and the way we live in our world." So, before I talk about the parables, I just want to say, you haven't been feeling too good the last few days. I think I've picked up an acute case of Edgbaston fever. For those of you who don't watch cricket, ask someone who does. It was a terrible day. Parables are... the light just dawned, didn't it? Parables are stories about ordinary, everyday things. They're not allegories. If you're wanting to understand parables, it's really interesting because I've been spending time with the kids out at the camp on parables, and they've got it. They've really understood what parables are about. An allegory, actually people treated the parables like allegories back around about the 12th century. There was a real phase on it. An allegory is where, this equals this, and this equals that, and that equals that, and that's the meaning behind that. That's what the parable means. There's one meaning. Parables don't work like that, and people who've done work on this type of storytelling would tell you that that was never the way they were intended to be used. The other thing to understand about parables is what you get in the Bible is a little condensed reminder of something that Jesus told. So he probably would have told a wonderful story, and people would have been sitting there listening to him telling this wonderful yarn, and there'd have been laughter in it, and there'd have been, "Oh no," and rolling of eyes and all sorts of things. But you've only got 36 feet of scroll, and you've got to tell the whole story in it. So what do? You condense it down into little things that jog people's memories. "Oh, that's what he said." And then the disciples would talk about the story that he told, or people who'd been there and had the stories passed on. So when you pick up a parable, what you've got is a story about normal things that happen in normal life. And Jesus often says, "The kingdom of God is like," and then he says something really simple and ordinary, like a man who takes a mustard seed, which is a tiny little seed, and he goes and plants it, and it grows up into a huge tree. And you'd tell something simple like that. So how do you get into parables? Well, one of the worst ways of getting into parables is to read books on theology. Because they're all very deep and meaningful and educated and scholastic and as boring as dishwater. And Jesus' parables weren't. He was telling stories about the things we do. About a woman baking bread and putting some leaven in the loaf. She must have been a bit of a hefty wench because that particular parable says 3 measures, enough to feed 100 people. He tells parables about weeds in a field. He tells parables about a woman looking for something that's been lost. Normal stories about everyday stuff. How do you get into them? Well, the best way to get into a parable is to get rid of any idea that there is one original meaning. Because there wasn't. Parables were meant to get you thinking. Do you know, I often say to you, don't I, on a Sunday morning when you come here sharing time, look for the places where you've seen God at work in your life. Look for the moments when something's dawned on you out of the ordinary stuff of life. Those are parables. If Jesus tells a parable about the narrow path and the broad path that leads to destruction and enter through the narrow gate, the best way to get into that parable is to go for a walk somewhere along a little narrow path and think, what happens on a narrow path? What's a narrow gate for? I went out to Foxworth Meadow the other day. Have you been out there yet, Valerie? When are you going? I don't know. It's got a lovely little kissing gate. It's not a gate where lovers kiss. It's a gate that touches both sides and it's narrow and you can only go through it one at a time. In other words, in a sense, at that moment you're on your own. But it's got lots of reasons. Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate. The narrow gate is often there. Well, these particular gates are there to stop people from motorbikes from getting into the meadow where they do a lot of damage in a very delicate ecosystem that's set apart so we can enjoy things that God's given us. Narrow paths, he says, take the narrow path. You go for a walk along a narrow path, what happens? As opposed to driving down the A14, what happens on a narrow path? Go on, you love walking. Yeah, you start to take notice, don't you? What else happens? Hey? There might be brambles. You've got to watch out for the brambles. I get out in those little laneways on my bike and I listen to the birds singing. Things happen on narrow paths. You want to get into the parable of the narrow path and the narrow gate? Go for a walk in the forest. If you want to know what the broad path is like, go out in the A14 or the 505 at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You get an idea why the broad path leads to destruction. You don't know what's going on around you. Well, you're just going from point A to point B. You're carried along by the rush. You can't stop. The parable of the wheat and the tares is an interesting one. So let's get rid of any idea of one single answer. But let's think about wheat and tares, weeds growing up. Someone once said to me, a weed is a plant growing where you don't want it to grow. And you know, one of the things that was really amazing to me was coming out to England from Australia 17 years ago. And there's a whole heap of beautiful plants and flowers that I'm told are wildflowers. You know what they are in Australia? They're noxious weeds. They're just wildflowers here. In Australia, they're noxious weeds. Because they're intrusive, they don't belong there. They're out of place. Weeds. You start pulling out weeds. I've got a bit of a problem in my garden at the moment. I've got these lovely big white daisies about that big. Lovely big bush. Do you know what I found growing in the middle of my daisy the other day? Ground elder. How am I going to get that out? What's God saying about weeds growing amongst wheat? Now, one of the things about weeds and flowers, I discovered something growing in my front garden a year or two ago, and I thought, I wonder what that is, and I let it grow, and it came up with a beautiful flower on it. Very pretty flower. I'm not much of a gardener, you can tell. And in fact, there was a lot of these pretty flowers growing, and I was very proud of them. And my mate Alan Partridge came to pick me up for the chess club down at Ickneild. I said, what do you think of the garden, Alan? He says, you've got a lot of weeds in there. He says, you should get rid of them. My beautiful flowers. He said they were weeds. To me, they were garden flowers. He thinks they're weeds. Weeds are often a perception that we have from our desire to take control and to be in control. We like things to be nice and neat. Some people's gardens are absolutely amazing like that, aren't they? No weed would dare grow in it. But that garden is so controlled. And when we start pulling out weeds, what we're doing is we're saying we want it this way. It's got to be this way. It can only be this way, the way that I see it being. And it occurred to me as I was thinking about this parable about weeds and tares, and Jesus saying, you know, the servants of the household are saying, let's go out and pull out the weeds. And Jesus saying, no. The household is saying, no, actually we'll leave them there, because if we start pulling them out, we'll pull out some of the good wheat as well. And I've been mulling it over all week. And you know what that parable said to me? I can only tell you what the parable means to me. It might mean something different to you. I started to think about the times when I got righteously indignant about something and decided I was going to uproot that weed. Now, I've done this a few times in my life. You know, every time I've done it has been the time when I look back and think that's the moment when I've really done damage to someone. I can think of a few people I've hurt along the way, unnecessarily, because I thought that I had to pull out the weeds. And I forgot for the moment that I'm supposed to be an example, you know, I'm supposed to try and embody in my living the grace and the mercy of Christ. And at that moment I'd become a self-righteous Pharisee. Okay, the other person mightn't have been doing exactly what was right in my eyes. It's so interesting. We're going to be going to our holiday club soon and talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And the fruits of the Spirit, if you think about it, are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Isn't it interesting that Jesus so often reached out in love to the person who everybody else regarded as a weed? Isn't that interesting? Well, next time you're baking a loaf of bread and you're kneading the yeast into the bread, have a think about that. At that moment, you're like the kingdom of God in some way. And you think, how? What's this saying to me? Next time you're out in the garden and you're sorting your garden out and you're about to pull out some weeds, think, what's God saying to me in this moment? How can I see God in this? Next time you're hunting for something lost in the house and you think, oh, this is just a household chore, it's not important. Jesus said a parable. The kingdom of God's like a woman looking for a lost coin. Amazing how often he said the kingdom of God is like a woman doing something. Something in there for us to remember. Your lives, your ordinarily lives, the things that you're doing day by day. If you start to get hold of what Jesus is doing with parables, then you start to realise that at every moment of the day, there's a parable in there. The kingdom of God is like this because God's in you. God's with you. God's in your world. God's around you. You're not mundane at all. You're part of the kingdom of God. So look for the parables. It's one of the examples Jesus gave us, is that the kingdom of God is like the ordinary things you're doing. The kingdom of God is like managing a sound desk, Gordon. I wonder what's in that. Oh, right. The kingdom of God is like watching a cricket match. I'll have to think hard about that one. But you know, sometimes that desire to root out the weeds is a weed in itself. So let's make sure that we have love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness in whatever we're doing. It's the servants who are real keen to go and root out the weeds. The master says, it's all right. Let them grow alongside of it. It'll all get sorted out. God will sort it out. You be my people. It's very interesting. When Europeans went out into Australia in the 1700s, late 1700s, early 1800s, and they took over the land, they ripped out all the weeds. You know what those weeds were? Those weeds were the staple diet of the Aboriginal people, the yams, which was the major food source, the equivalent of the British potato, or carrot, or turnip, or something. They ripped out all the weeds, which were the natives' grain crops that used to stretch for miles and feed whole communities. They ripped out the weeds, which were the plants that held the lichen together and stopped the topsoil from blowing away when there was droughts and big north winds. They ripped out the weeds that were the Aboriginal people so they could make way for the good plants. We've got to be very careful when we think we know what a weed is, because sometimes my desire to pull out the weed is the weed itself. And sometimes we don't recognise that God's at work in the weeds, the things we think are weeds. We've got to be very, very careful and do whatever we do with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, because we're not God. We're not the householder. And we need to be very careful about it. So next time you look at a parable, don't look at it and say, what does it mean? Look at it. Maybe go for a walk. Maybe go and do it. Think about it. Spend time with it. Say, God, what have you got to say to me here now?